our guest the last hour is Jen, J-E-N, and we talked back in October of last year. And so, anyway, welcome, Jen.
Good to be back.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, good to be back.
So we both read this same book, Wife Number 19. excuse me. I was having a coughing spell during the break, by Ann Eliza Young. And after I finished the book, or when I got to the end, I thought, oh my gosh, that's all? I wanted to know more. But I learned so much from reading her book about, I've read a lot of books, similar books, like her book, and have learned a great deal that I didn't know, and it was kind of a sad thing, because people don't like to be fooled. They don't like to be taken for granted. They don't like to be lied to, and that has all happened to you and to to me, and to millions of other people, and. Anyway, go ahead.
It really took the air out of me as well. I think the other author was Fanny Stenhouse, who was very similar in their writings. Have you read that one yet?
I read it. Actually, I read it like 2 years ago, and then I'd forgotten about it until you mentioned it. But I've been reading some other things, and it's just amazing when you consider the fact that, and we're talking about the Mormon Church. When you consider the fact that the Mormon Church was set up as what was called the United Order, which is communism, and it was done 1830. So we're talking pre-Marx. And one of the mentors of Joseph Smith had previously been trained as a rabbi, or he was going to be a rabbi, but then he changed his mind. But he taught Joseph Smith Kabbalah. when I learned about this, and when I was taking a look at what exactly the United Order was, I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's communism, because what the church wanted you to do is to turn in everything that you owned, give them title to everything that you owned, and then you would get back just what you need, just what they thought that you needed. What are your thoughts on that? I know that's not what we decided to talk about, but
I'm focusing on the. This Mormonism and how it was being conducted. I mean, it surpasses any Wild West story in the mid-1850s. And I really think what we're doing here is we're deconstructing a cult, which is still being covered up today. I mean, it was a brutal time to live back then. I can't even imagine how those people survived.
A lot of them didn't. A lot of people were
just
killed.
Or suicides, which I had no idea that there were so many, which was it's just gut-wrenching.
Well, the suicide rate in Utah is pretty high when you compare it to other states. They also take more Prozac in Utah than in other states, and you have to ask why. What's going on? Why are there so many unhappy people? Because I believe that the way that the women were treated under polygamy, that the mentality that the men exhibited has stayed. And I know that...
Exactly.
You had somebody in your bloodline that suffered some violence.
Yeah.
Could you tell us that story?
Yeah, right after I left the church, I was in it for 40 years. I had been a genealogist for 35. And so, you know, it was such a shock to be handed this reference and then to find my bloodline, you know, my own bloodline name in it. So it really meant a lot to me. Well, Anne's cousin married a Gentile, and then she had married Hatton. Did you want me to tell the story?
Yes. Anne, are you talking about Anne Eliza Webb?
Anne Eliza's cousin, yeah. She had married this Gentile named Hatton, and he wanted to take her down to California. They wanted to move. So they were coming from Illinois, and they were going to travel through Salt Lake City. So Anne Eliza's aunt and husband were devout Mormons, and they were grieving over their daughter as if she was dead. And this is still going on today. You know, if you are out of the church, you are grieved as a dead person. Many members do that. But this aunt and uncle were so distraught, they consulted, you know, Brigham Young for advice. And he said, put Hatton out of the way. It is a sin and a shame to have so good a woman dragged around the world by a Gentile. So she was told that Hatton was killed by Indians. And she had no friends there. I mean, she was just deserted. A few years later, she was married, but she wasn't happy. And this Huber C. Kimball, he noticed her unhappiness. And Brigham Young said, it wasn't too late. You can still have her. And, you know, she never learned of the real fate of her husband until long afterward. The thing is people were just taken out if they wanted to be out of the way for a leader or, you know, some other thing was stopping their wishes from happening. They would just knock people off. You know, it was not safe to be a Gentile in this Mormon territory. I mean, and, you know, you were murdered for being an apostate. Yeah, it was a very scary time.
Certainly. The other thing that struck me, they killed this guy. They killed Hatton, correct?
Yes, they took him down to Fillmore, Utah, and that was the end of him. But, you know, this is what they did with people. They just disappeared. If you were in the way, and this is where those Danites come into play.
Danites,
you know, the Danites. That all started back in, you know, before they came west. People were told, huh?
The Council of 50, the Danites.
Yep.
And
yep.
they were doing things in Missouri. The Danites
yep.
were doing things in Missouri. They were burning down houses and fields and all kinds of things. It wasn't just the people in Missouri, the residents, who were after the Mormons. It was a two-way mm-hmm. street.
Yep. And, you know, Mormons were hated. And I can see now why. They were causing so much trouble.
They had to leave New York, they had to leave Ohio, they had to leave Missouri, they had to leave Illinois. And are we to believe that the people in those four states were defective, that they simply couldn't get along with these people? Or was it the Mormons who just
exactly.
were doing outrageous things?
Yep. Yep. Mormons were taught to hate all people not of their belief. This was a toxic religion. They wanted you to kill. I mean, that was part of their belief, was to kill. It was very violent.
Well, I do know that I haven't read as much about the violence. I do know that if a Gentile young man was interested in a Mormon young woman, that he was all of a sudden disappeared. And nothing more was heard from him. So, I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yep.
That is. Then there's a story about Bishop Warren Snow. Are you familiar with that one?
Which chapter was it in? Do you remember?
You're talking about
Bishop Snow?
Yes.
With Thomas Lewis?
Yes. It wasn't in this.
Oh, book. Yes. Well,
but go ahead and tell us that story.
The Thomas Lewis story is in this book. And Bishop, you know, this Thomas Lewis was such a beautiful person, as in the description, and he just went to a dance.
And he
and,
was,
you know,
he was a Mormon.
He was just, you know, talking to a young girl there, and this Bishop Snow had his eyes on this girl as part of his future harem, and this Thomas Lewis, I mean, the description was, the injury was so brutal and barbarous that no woman's pen may write the words that describe it.
Oh, right.
I mean, it was pretty horrid.
I understand that from other stories that I had read, that Lewis was actually engaged to this young woman, and he would not give her up, and she didn't want to give him up. They wanted to be married. They loved each other. And Bishop Snow, Warren Snow, wouldn't have it, and so he sent five of his cronies out to get this Lewis, and they castrated him.
Oh. And the part, if this is the same story...
I'm sure it
after
is.
After this boy's death, the mother still stayed in the religion.
No kidding. Well, I think even Ann Eliza's parents stayed in the religion, even after some of the horrid things that Brigham Young did. But then after she filed for divorce and what Brigham Young did thereafter, they finally woke up and started to support
her. Yeah, it took nearly their whole lives. And then they were excommunicated, you know. Yeah.
Wow. So,
But this spirit of slaughter, as they called it, it was just endless. This shedding of human blood and how they would tote the dead bodies around and people would see that in the community?
Well, Brigham Young preached a doctrine called blood atonement. And in other words, they really didn't believe that Jesus Christ took care of the atonement, that he atoned for your sins. And so there were some things that people did, they thought, the Mormons thought, the Mormon hierarchy thought, that you could only get forgiveness for or compensate for by having your blood shed. And that if you had any guts at all, that you would allow somebody to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somebody in the chat room said, can a Mormon man satisfy even one wife? Never mind 46. Isn't that funny? I am reading.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead.
Did you want to talk more about the blood atonement?
Yeah, go ahead.
She also referred to it as the reformation, the reformation or the reign of terror.
Oh, that happened just before Mountain Meadows Massacre. Yes, because there were questions. There were people who were asking questions, and so they wanted to reaffirm everyone's belief in the church. And so they were, and actually it was a Grant, Jedediah M. Grant, who was the spokesperson for this Reformation, which was in 1856-57. And they were talking about atoning for the blood of Joseph Smith and getting even. It was kind of a revenge thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And reestablishing people's affinity to the church and reestablishing their dedication. They wanted dedicated members. So they wanted people to be rebaptized. Right?
Yep. Yep, yep. Ann Eliza says that this, you know, you mentioned the massacre, Mountain Meadows. Right. She said that was like, you know, the biggest event that that illuminated this blood atonement. You know, and then she said that she heard men say, if I apostatize, I hope some of my brethren will love me enough to slay me.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, you talk about a twisted belief system.
Indeed. And
this desire for bloodshedding, I mean, it just had no bounds. Just all evil.
Indeed. the Mountain Meadows Massacre culminated, and this is very interesting, I think, on September 11th, 1857. Isn't that kind of an amazing thing, September 11th, 1857?
Yeah, they keep using September 11th.
Right. It is kind of an amazing thing.
Yep.
And there was another thing where September 11th was used, and this is out of Fawn Brody's book, that Joseph Smith promised that the redemption of the members down in Missouri was going to occur on September 11th, 1838. It didn't happen, but that's what the promise he made. So there must be something kind of significant about September 11th. It was kind of...
Evidently.
Now, Ann Eliza was born in 1844. She was born in Nauvoo. And Brigham Young was, of course, in Nauvoo. He knew her from the time that she was a baby.
Yep.
And her father used to work for Brigham Young. And a lot of times, after he would complete a job or do something or go on a trip somewhere and then get back and expect to be paid, Brigham Young would say, "Oh, I thought you were doing this for God. I thought you were doing this for the church." Correct?
The man was such a thief. He ripped off Anne's father repeatedly. You know, I don't know how he stayed as long as he did. I mean, Brigham Young just took his property right out.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our last hour, our guest is Jen, and we're talking about Brigham Young. We're talking about Mormons, and anyway, it's pretty interesting stuff. You mentioned that Brigham Young was a thief, and that's putting it mildly. I'm sure that you're aware of the Willie Martin handcart companies, and she talks about them in that book. And basically, these people came over from England and from other countries, and they arrived and did not, of course, have. They didn't have covered wagons. They didn't have oxen. They didn't have the equipment to cross the plains. So Brigham Young came up with this idea of having hand carts. Now, there had been hand carts before, and there were hand carts after. But he sent Mr. Webb, Chauncey Webb, which was Anna Eliza's father, back east to be in charge because Chauncey Webb was a wagon maker. And Brigham Young, it was going to be financed by the church, and they would get a little bit of money from the people who were traveling in the hand carts, not in them. They were had to either push or pull them. It was like a big wheelbarrow with a crossbar across so that you could push it or pull it. Anyway, Brigham Young wanted to really save money. He didn't want to use iron for the wheels. He didn't want to spend the time to have seasoned timber. Instead, they used green wood. And Chauncey Webb said, this is not right. This is not going to work. This is going to create a lot of havoc, a lot of breakdowns. And but Brigham Young said, no, do it my way. which they did, and the Willie Martin handcart companies lost so many people who froze to death. It was terrible. He never admitted that it was his mistake, that he should have done it another way. And when Chauncey Webb returned and expected to be paid, as he told, he was told he was going to get paid for this, then Brigham Young said, "Oh, no, you were working for the church." Is that how you remember that story in there?
Oh, yeah. I liked how Annalisa said that Brigham's law was not to be broken, and the person who should venture to disregard it pronounced his own death sentence.
Yikes.
You know, you were not to come up against this man. And as far as being paid for work, did you read the part about Hickman? You know, he was one of the Danites.
Oh, right, right.
He said that, well, I mean, it was through Ann, said that Hickman said that Brigham Young never even paid him a dollar for any of the dirty work, only in wives.
Wow. This is amazing, too, that, okay, Brigham Young conned Annalisa or Ann Eliza into marrying him. Now, she had been married before. She had two children, and she was, you know, basically on her own, but she didn't want to marry him. I mean, he was an old man. He was an old man. And so he sort of manipulated her father economically, manipulated her brother economically, to the point that she really had no choice. She did not have any choice. And so she said, okay, I will. I'll marry you. And she stayed in the big house, the Beehive house, for about a year. Yep. Then she wanted to move into her own place. But she couldn't afford to do that. And Brigham Young did not support his wives. She got a house. She got the house. But she had to take in boarders in order to make ends meet. And, of course, she had to cook for them. And the whole thing was that she wanted another stove, a stove that could accommodate her needs when cooking for her boarders. And we'll pick it up on the other side of the break, which is in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this last hour is Jen. And I was just talking about the stove situation in the home that Brigham Young allowed Eliza to live in. And anyway, it just didn't work out real well. She didn't ever get the stove. So what did he do then? He allowed her to have a bigger place, right? The ranch?
Yeah, that part's a little, huh?
The ranch.
The ranch.
Yes. Anna Eliza was offered another place to live, and she could take her mother with her. She and her mother were incredibly close. They were just very, very, very close. And so Brigham Young took Ann Eliza out in his buggy and showed her this nice ranch, and she was to manage it. They would have to cook meals for, 40 or 50 people who milked the cows. It was a dairy farm. So they were making, they had to make cheese, and they had to milk cows, and they had to make all of the products from the cows for all of the rest of Young's harem and family. And so Ann Eliza was the manager. And she got to live there free. And it was a lot cheaper to have his wife, one of his wives, do this than to hire a manager. And they were there for, 6 years or 3 years? Do you remember?
Well, it said the marriage only lasted 4 years.
Oh, okay. Well, she was there for just a very short time then, or at least two years. But that's how Mormonism worked then. you didn't actually support your wife. They just kind of had to support themselves, unless you were the favorite wife, and then you got whatever you wanted, apparently. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I did want to mention something about her brother. You know, when that marriage was manipulated by Brigham Young, he had the only way he could think of to get her, because she was not going to marry him. Brigham Young destroyed her family from the inside out and forced the marriage. But the brother, he was more worried about being cut off from the church than losing any property. That's how, thick they were to that community. You know, being told that you were no longer in the group, I mean, it was like death.
Or worse. No, you would go to outer darkness.
If you got
off from the church, there's 3 degrees of glory. There's the celestial, terrestrial, and celestial. And if you leave the church, if you apostatize, you don't even get to go to one of the 3 degrees of glory. You're in outer darkness. And whoever, I mean, that's even worse than the worst possible thing.
Yep. So, you know, the whole thing was so twisted. And, you know, I'm so happy that she only stayed in it 4 years. It was those borders. You know, those Gentile borders that helped get her out.
Right. I mean, they really counseled her very wisely. And she also was able to take a trip out east. And when she was on the train, she saw a regular family, a wife, a husband, and their 2 children. And the husband was so attentive to the children and so adoring to his wife, and she just couldn't imagine, because she had grown up in a polygamous situation. Because her father
she
was
finally
polygamous.
Saw what normal was.
Right. Yes. Isn't that amazing? But when you grow up and that's all you know, then that's all you know. And that's what you believe. And so thank goodness she did have some Gentile boarders who managed to stay alive in a Mormon community. Because after the train came in and after several things happened, then you had more Gentiles in the Salt Lake area. But a lot of the wives stayed with their families, or they stayed in their own home, or their parents' home, and they just had conjugal visits. There's another story I'm reading. It's A Mormon wife. Yes, it's about the woman who married Joseph Marion Tanner, and she was a student at one of the schools. He was a visiting professor, and he had one wife, and he thought she was very attractive. She was no way ready for getting married. She was looking forward to more education and going out, and just she was not ready to get married. Anyway, he conned her into marrying him. So she took a train to Salt Lake, married him, got back on the train, and went back home. And he got back on another train with his first wife, and they went home. And she didn't see him. You know, she went home to bread and milk dinner, and her family said, well, did it happen? And she said, yes. And 6 months later, he was courting somebody else as a third wife. But he saw her probably, they had 7 or 8 kids. So he probably visited her 7 or 8 times. And she had land. She had property that her father left her. Quite a bit of land. And this Joseph Marion Tanner had access to her estate, or to her father's estate, because it was now in his in her hands. He bought land up in Canada for the benefit of some other wives and children, and pretty much abandoned her to raise these children by herself after he had absconded with her inheritance. How's that for?
Yeah.
That's how polygamy was.
Yep.
The husband didn't support you.
Yeah, women were bound to husbands, but men were continuously in an unmarried state.
Right, because they could get married at the drop of a hat.
Right. You know, I thought it was really interesting that the New York Times called Salt Lake City the biggest whorehouse in the world.
Yes, that would be apropos. Now, somebody told me, or somebody in the chat room said, that a lot of Mormons become Scientologists. I don't think so. Scientology has a lot of, well, it's a cult. But they're talking about, the Scientologists are always out on a campaign to raise money. Well, Mormons don't have to do that, because they have a de facto money collecting system already in place. They don't have to have a campaign. And I don't know of any Mormon that ever became a Scientologist.
I think most of them are atheists.
I think so, because Scientology has nothing whatsoever to do with Mormonism, other than the fact that they're both cults.
You're right.
And I would say that Mormonism is much more evil than Scientology ever thought of being.
That's what she said. Anne said that it was the worst.
Yes.
If I could find where she said it. Yep.
Yes. And I think that there's been a lot of expose on Scientology, and that's why a lot of people know what it is. But you don't hear anything bad about Mormonism nowadays because of the PR department, because they conceal a lot of things that they do, they conceal them, or they just out and out lie about them. And so,
right, it's whitewashed. The thing that I didn't know in that book was the gross immorality and the incest and the intermarriages. I didn't know it was happening to that degree. I mean, even there was this one part where this man said that told his wife that when their daughters were born, they were going to be sealed to him, and the girls even talked openly of marrying Pa.
Is that sick or what?
I had no idea that was going on to that degree. I mean, the immorality in that group was off the charts.
Well, when you look at it, one of the wives of Joseph Smith. Now, Mormons are taught that polygamy really began with Brigham Young. That is false. Polygamy began, in fact, one author I was reading, Carmen Hardy, said that he probably thought of it in about 1831. But one of his wives, was 14, and he went to her parents, Heber C. Kimball, and his wife Phylate Murray, and said, "I would like to marry your daughter," and it was their only daughter, Helen Marr Kimball. And he said, "If you will do this, then that will guarantee you a place in the celestial kingdom," more or less. And so, and Helen Marr Kimball did not know about this prearrangement with her parents. And her mother her mother did not want to see her do this, but she went ahead and said okay, because she was living in a polygamous situation and she knew how terrible it was. So anyway, Joseph Smith proposed to her, and she was given 24 hours to decide. And I was talking to my son, and he said it was like her father was pimping her out. She was 14, and Joseph Smith was 37. What?
Yep.
Normal 37-year-old man wants, and it wasn't just a spiritual wife. It was with all the privileges. And Joseph Smith said, you got to get all you can. And he was talking about sex. You got to get all you can.
I absolutely agree that it started with Joseph Smith. I mean, him and Joseph Smith and that woman that was married to Mr. Law.
Joseph William Law. Jane William Law.
Yeah, and Joseph asked her, the wife, to give him half her love, and she was at liberty to keep the other half for her husband. I mean,
yeah, married women. Yes.
Yeah, but you know, people that were sealed to Joseph Smith were more highly respected. I mean, everything was twisted.
Sure. And I think that women
This is how the wives lost faith in their husbands. You talk about a broken down society.
Yes. Now, Joseph Smith had 33 documented wives. 33. And a lot of them, I think 11 of them, were teenagers. Some of them were married to other people. He would send somebody on a mission so that he could sleep with their wife.
Yep. The trickery that was going on at all times.
Right.
And, you know, everyone thought that there was so much honesty behind all of this. Boy, they really masked it so well.
Sure. Well, they did something called a correlation. In other words, all the manuals in the church are correlated so that they all teach the same thing. And, I mean, I taught seminary three different times. I had some high positions in the church. I never knew that Joseph Smith had more than one wife because it is not mentioned in any manual. So the only way that you would find any of this out was to read those naughty, naughty books that apostates had written.
Yes.
That the Mormons are trained and indoctrinated. Oh, don't read those books. Oh, those people are so bad and so evil.
Yeah.
You must stay away from them as if they were poison.
Yep.
And people believe it.
And mentions how the you know, that quiet policy was so successful, in the Mormon leaders. Oh,
sure.
Did they have that good.
But, in fact,
you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, the description of the people that were in this cult, I can't believe how, you know, warlike, the enthusiasm the way that they wanted to retaliate, and the superstitions, and just the deludedness of all their thinking. They were afraid to have the outside world come too close to them.
Because they had been taught.
Yeah, it's just a sad mess.
We've been taught that we're better, or that Mormons are better. I can't say we anymore. Mormons are taught that they are better than other peoples. They're chosen, and they're elect, and they shouldn't hang around with Gentiles. And that is what they're referred to. Non-members are referred to as Gentiles. And Mormons should not hang around with Gentiles, lest you get smudged with some sort of, unless you get, okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All right, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this last hour is Jan, and we're talking about a book, Wife Number 19. Now, she wasn't the 19th wife. She was the 19th one then living, still living. And her name was Ann Eliza Webb Young. She was born in 1844 and died in 1917. She said that Brigham Young used the Temple Fund to build the theater, which was quite a magnificent building. He used the Temple Fund to build it, and then he took ownership of it so he could collect all of the money. He had a lot of businesses that he got like that.
And he was not going to leave. He was not going to let that go ever, the tithing fund. Control of it.
Right. Yeah. Because the president of the church, from the time of Joseph Smith up to the present day, is the trustee in trust. They decide what to do with the tithing money. And it's very interesting that one of his daughters, one of Brigham Young's daughters, He met her on the street, and she was quite a beautiful girl. She had children. She was married. And he said, "You look like a prostitute." And she said, "Well, that's kind of the way that I was raised." And she killed herself. Do you remember that she poisoned herself?
Oh, speaking of poison, did you read on Saints Alive that
no.
Brigham Young was poisoned?
Really?
Yeah, he died in 1877, and
right.
they say it was an inside job.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there were a lot of people that probably hated him.
Well, you know, Anne said, you know, all murders are lying at his door. I mean, by then, at that time, I mean, you know, the truth was getting out.
Huh. Well, I don't know that there would be any way to prove that, but it's certainly good speculation. Have you ever wondered why it took so long to build the Salt Lake Temple? It took 40 years. Because he would have these campaigns to raise money for, like, the windows or something.
Uh-huh.
And as long as he had this building in progress, he could continue to not only collect tithing, but to also collect extra money for the tithing fund. So it was a big money-making project.
Keep that another
building,
scam.
Another scam. Yeah. Amazing. Well, I'm glad I'm
amazing.
Out.
Amazing.
I can't believe it's, now.
It's more amazing we're out.
Yes, because I can't believe how stupid I was. But when you're born into it, that's all you know. And even
everything.
Right. You never question anything. But there were things. There were things along the way that I thought, wow, that's crazy. But then I thought, well, it's just me. And I think that that's the way a lot of people feel. Oh, it's just me that I don't understand the temple ritual. It's just me.
Yep.
You know, everybody else gets it. It's just me. And I think they play upon your feeling of inadequacies.
Yep.
Thank you, Jen, for being on
thanks,
the program.
Diana, for exposing this, you know, the truth.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Take care. Take care, listeners. Thank you for listening today.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.